Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have two people, very special people involved at Blank Park Zoo. Chris, who's been at the zoo for many, many years, and Erica, who has is newer to the zoo, maybe a couple years, and they're very involved with the volunteer programs at the zoo. And Chris, engagement, education, you oversee all that. And so welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
And, of course, Jesse Lowry is here. And, Jesse, why don't you get our show started today?
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Jesse Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research here at Blank Park Zoo. And I always like to start off our show by kind of laying the foundation of what a modern zoo's role is in saving animals in the wild. The mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. What I see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place where we can invite the community and schools and families to come to the zoo and have a fun, affordable day out. We've surveyed our audience, and we know that's what they're looking for at the zoo, a fun, affordable day out. But while they're here, we want to see if we can tug at their heartstrings a little bit and turn that sense of awe that we all feel when we see tigers and lions and giraffe and rhinos and sea lions, turn that sense of awe into a real conservation action, something that's actually going to make a difference to wildlife and wildlife populations and wild places around the world. So we can do conservation in many different ways. We are a part of the AZA Association of accredited zoos across the nation, and there's about 6,400 places that you can see animals under human care, 6,400 USDA exhibitor licenses, and there's only 230-ish accredited zoos. And so Blank Park Zoo is one of those accredited zoos. It means that we are the best of the best, the top of the top. We've got really high standards in animal welfare and husbandry and veterinary care, but also conservation and saving animals in the wild. And altogether, the accredited zoos give about $220 million per year, I believe. It's over $200 million. And so that can make a really great impact in wildlife around the world. Of course, we give donations to field organizations that take care of some of the iconic species that we have here at the zoo, like International Rhino Foundation and Giraffe Conservation Foundation. We even send our staff to the field to work for these organizations, helping to save animals in their range countries. But I always say, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, working locally and with your local community is the way to go. And that's why we wanted to invite Chris and Erica to the show today, because they do a lot at the zoo to help engage the community and get boots on the ground here at the zoo and get these programs off the ground that we need to do to save animals in the wild. And so we're going to talk today, like Ryan said, about the volunteers and about our Zoo Crew program and about some of the local projects that these ladies run. So let's go ahead and start the show off. Chris, I think we'll go to you first. Why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you ended up at Blank Park Zoo and tell us a little bit about your current role here at the zoo.
Sure. I'm Chris Eccles. I am the Chief Engagement Officer here at the zoo. And my main responsibilities here are our volunteer program. So we last year we have And typically we have about 2,000 people who will volunteer at the zoo and provide over 37,000 hours to the zoo. So it's a typical year for us. And that includes volunteers that come and give their time weekly. We have Zoo Crew, which we'll get to in a little bit, our team volunteer programs, and corporate groups that come out to the zoo and help out with projects. And then, of course, our special events. We could not do without our volunteers. So having Night Eyes volunteers and Zoo Brew volunteers all add up to that 2,000 mark. So my background is in recreation management, and I came to the zoo about seven and a half years ago, and it's a great place to be. It takes my love of working with people, working with youth, and connecting them to nature to the next level. And that was my background, was working in state parks, working with the Girl Scouts, and AmeriCorps is a service organization that I worked on in my past. So this job seemed to take everything that I loved and put it all in one spot. So I'm really happy to be here and working at the zoo.
Awesome. Erica, do you want to tell us a little bit how you came to work at the zoo and your current role here?
Sure. My name is Erica Carnes, and I am the teen volunteer program coordinator here at the zoo. So I work primarily with the Zoo Crew program. I've been here a little over a year, and my background path is not as direct. I have a background in a nonprofit and public administration. I have bounced around from lots of different fields, worked campaigns for a while. I've done some corporate jobs, and I always come back to nonprofit and education-based, or I'm happiest in jobs that are nonprofit and education-based and provide, positive enhancements to the community. So the zoo was a nice fit for me. I enjoy being outside and conservation, so it kind of all fell together.
That is awesome. We are excited to have you here, Erica. You're doing a great job, and we can tell that you are a nature girl and that you enjoy this kind of thing, so it's just like a perfect fit for us, too. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Zoo Crew and what that program is all about?
The Zoo Crew program is our teen volunteer program. It's for ages 13 to 17. We start taking applications around January 1st, and they are due back by March 1st. This year we have a little over 160 kids in the program, and it just kind of keeps growing every single year. And some of the things that the teens will help out with around the zoo are education, programming. They'll do help keep the zoo nice and pretty and picked up. They help with guest services.
Yeah, and each year, do the Zoo Crew volunteers get more and more responsibility too, so they can kind of get some real world experience about working your way up at a job?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sure. Yeah. The idea behind Zoo Crew program is to be progressive. So mm-hmm. we start our Zoo Crew 1, the first year, is usually 13, 14-year-olds, sometimes a little bit older. Give them the opportunity to learn what it means to interact with our guests and step out of their maybe being shy and step out of their shell a little bit and talk to guests, talk to them about the animals, about actions that they can do to help our environment. And then they also get to do the education side of that. So getting to tell the insider information about otters or the bald eagles is always pretty exciting. And again, helping to build those skills. So when they're 16, they can apply to work at the zoo in our guest service area. So we feel like we're building that, our base for our jobs here at the zoo and a career base, and also giving them career skills. Once they're in the program, in their second, third, fourth year, they can start working animal care and seeing what that all entails. And sometimes kids decide, oh, maybe being a zookeeper is not the thing I wanted to do, or they get a real passion for it and decide that's what they really want to do. They become interns here at the zoo. They go on to college and pursue a degree in animal science, ecology, conservation. And so it's pretty exciting to see their path and see where they take their skills that they learn here.
Could you give us an example of someone that this has happened to that's been sort of exciting?
Sure. Let's see. So I know, although she's not going to school for it, we've had a couple of Zoo Crew that have graduated high school, and in that summer that they graduated, they thought, this is what I want to do, is work with animals. And Maria is a good example. And so she worked in the summer between college. She goes to UNI, and she really has a mind for engineering. So, and she likes the idea of animals and providing the best options for them. And she really got connected with enrichment when she was here. So her engineering brain, and she worked in our large mammals area, and the problem that they were having or that they wanted to solve a little bit was providing our rhinos with enrichment and food that could, so they weren't just feeding off of the hay whenever. It would just kind of drop down, and the rhinos would be able to drop the hay down in a bucket, and so that they would interact with it. Mm-hmm. So her engineering brain and her love for the rhinos was really interesting to watch all summer long, because she was just determined to make that work. And it worked for the most part, and there's always little tweaks that they have to make. But she's going to school, I believe, in the engineering field, so maybe not zookeeping, but I feel like one day she's going to be one of those people that will probably take our exhibits to the next level, or enrichment to the next level. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I can just see her excelling in that, because she has a love for both.
And I love the story, Chris and Erica, about the zoo crew volunteers that went to the ZAP conference. We had the Zoos and Aquariums Committing to Conservation conference here in Des Moines in 2013, highlighted for what a small zoo can do for conservation. And was it Maria?
Maria and her Ben. Sister Susan, and
was it Ben White?
Ben was there for a little bit, and Brock. So, yeah.
Yes, and mm-hmm. so they got to meet some conservation superstars,
yes.
Especially Patty Medici from Tapir Conservation Project in South America, and they've stayed in touch ever since. Yeah. So I remember a picture of those young folks standing beside Patty in a really sweet picture, and I know that's something that they will cherish for a long time. And so we're excited to be able to give the kids those kind of opportunities. What is special about working with teenagers at the zoo?
Oh, there's a lot.
Because we always talk about the different age groups and what kind of conservation messages should we do with the littles, and should we do for the school age kids. And so what kind of challenges, or what are teenagers especially good at, and how do we kind of use that special age group here at the zoo?
They have a passion. Mm-hmm. So they're in the zoo crew program. They have to apply to be in the program, and they have to show up for their interview and come to training. So they're committed to the program because, well, we kind of make them be committed in that sense. But they show up, and they all have a passion for animals and for the environment. And they want to make the world a better place. And that can seem very overwhelming, especially when you're a teenager, not knowing how to harness that and where that's going to go. And it's amazing to see them, the knowledge that some of them know about animals and how they put it out to our guests. And when they get the feedback from the guests, they're telling that background information about the otters and names and what the otters like to do. And if they get some feedback from the guests, it gets them excited. And they can see that they're part of a bigger picture. And this year, we have about 10 zoo crew that applied and got a job with our guest service staff. And the reason they applied and they wanted to be part of guest services, because they saw that that's kind of the continuation of the family here. They saw what guest services could do for our guests, and they wanted to give back in that respect. So I think that's the positives. There's a passion there. There's a drive there. They're always thinking, how can they make their mark? Challenges is probably they're busy. Our zoo crew are involved in a lot of things, and so making the time to be a part of zoo crew is a commitment. So there are days where, you know, especially during training, where you're trying to figure out schedules and trying to get everybody from there to get in zoo crew, but they're also involved in band, they're also involved in sports and just life in general. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge we face with that.
I think it's really great that you include some of those real world skills that people will have as they get older. They have to apply. They have to go to an interview, mm-hmm. Do some grown-up things. You're teaching them some life skills that even if they don't go into zookeeping or a zoo field, that will help them out later in life.
Sure. Yeah. It's really great to see. A 13-year-old having an interview is a scary thing.
Yeah.
But we try to make it very welcoming. They're in with their peers. It's just the two of us, and we ask pretty simple questions. And once they go through the interview, we're like, that's not so bad, was it? And they're like, no, we're good. Okay. So, and then you give them, let them know once they come to their interview, they're in the program. And to see that excitement is pretty awesome. High fives to the parents, the little, kind of motions. And they feel very proud that they came through what seemed scary to them, and they survived it, and they get to be part of a program here at the zoo that they've some of them have been wanting to do it since they were little because they saw it as a camper here.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of kids wait years and years knowing that this is what they want to do when they become 13, you said.
Yes, 13
to 17. So where do folks find out more about this program before we move on to the next thing?
Sure. You can go to the zoo's website under our volunteer page, and there's a link right now. And once we are taking applications, the application would be live in the winter. But you can just find that the general information on our zoo's volunteer page.
That sounds great. What a great, great program. Let's talk more broadly about zoo volunteers and what kind of conservation activities that can they take part in here at the zoo.
So at the zoo, we have a lot of different volunteer opportunities, kind of matching passions with our community members. One thing that they can do is on site is be part of an education exhibit guide. So that's where you get to be an expert in an animal here at the zoo. So we have some volunteers who love our big cats, and they come about weekly, and we'll share information about the big cats. Again, the insider information, which everybody seems to want to know. But also we have artifacts that go along with a lot of our animals. So getting to touch and feel the difference between maybe what a lion would feel like compared to a tiger. And there's just a little fur there. They can't actually touch the animals. But understanding that there's a difference, and why do lions live a certain way that they do, and why do tigers live a certain way they do, and understanding the characteristics of the animals and getting the stories. And our volunteers love telling stories about our animals at the zoo, and they get those a lot from the keepers, so they can share favorite enrichment items, things that they like to do, that kind of stuff. Other things at the zoo, we have gardens at the zoo, so we have an Adopt-A-Garden program where our volunteers are given a little piece of property here at the zoo, and they work with our horticulturalists to make sure that we have plants that are going to kind of go with the theme of the zoo, but also that they have plants that are part of the Plant Grow Fly program, so nectar sources, host plants, and they bring in their own plants for this area, and then they are asked to do about 3 hours a month to maintain those gardens. And it's usually this time of year and in the spring, and then later in this fall, they're, of course, doing way more than 3 hours of time in their gardens. But it's nice to see during the summer the flowers popping and all the hard work that went into developing their garden. And it's nice for our horticulturists to have that here at the zoo. It just kind of helps them make the zoo look even nicer. I feel like since I've started, I've seen with this program more the hummingbirds around the zoo and more of the hummingbird moth around the zoo, and of course a lot of our pollinators around, but I feel like that's really helped bring more pollinators around.
Yeah, and it's lovely just to walk around the zoo and see all of these little pocket gardens, mm-hmm. and they're kind of like a little artistic expression of the person who is tending that garden. Mm-hmm. I especially like the ones by the carousel and things like that. So, and you know, just to back up to what you said before, how your volunteers really enjoy telling stories about the animals and the insider information about animals that our guests are craving to know. And these are the types of information that will make people feel more connected to the animals and more passionate about helping to save them in the wild. Mm-hmm. And so even if your volunteers are standing in front of exhibit and talking about, you know, how many vertebrae a giraffe have, that is helping to save giraffe, because you guys and your volunteers are making this wonderful experience for our guests to have a richer experience at the zoo. And, you know, a portion of every dollar that we make at the zoo goes to save animals in the wild. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of this holistic approach that the zoo has. And of course, the volunteers, teen and adult, are a huge critical piece of that. And storytelling is something that is something that really can make a difference for conservation. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about the Upcycle program, and then also start thinking of one of your favorite stories from a volunteer here at the zoo over the years. And I think maybe we'll end the show that way. So you want to tell us a little bit about Upcycle?
Sure. Upcycle is a partnership program that the zoo works with Des Moines Parks and Rec, Trees Forever, and Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. We mostly focus having programs in the summer, and we'll pick a park with Des Moines Parks and Rec and go to that park and remove invasive plants. We focus a lot on honeysuckle because it's everywhere, but we'll take other trees and shrubs out that to the maybe just for wildlife management that need to kind of clear the area. But honeysuckle is a big one. Honeysuckle is a very invasive plant to Iowa. And the reason we want to take it out of the parks is it when it grows and it just flourishes because it likes everything that Iowa has to offer. But it also cuts out the forest floor. And so the sunlight's not getting down to the forest floor. It's creating habitat that's probably too low for the songbirds to be in a safe way in the forest. So you're building nests a little bit lower to the ground, which can be a problem for predators to get to them. And well, we've noticed different areas where we have removed honeysuckle, you can see our native plants coming back. And Easter Lake is a good example of that with what they've done at Easter Lake and making the lake better, but also removing honeysuckle. This summer or this spring, we saw flowers that they hadn't seen in a while. So that's really exciting. And having the flowers there is going to bring back our native and be a better habitat for our native bugs and pollinators and birds and just be better. Something that we do with the honeysuckle, we call it upcycles because we bring it back to the zoo. And our animals have a whole browse list of things that they can eat that, and browse is an item that it's kind of something that's added to their diet besides their normal diet, just something that they can have. And honeysuckle is liked by just about every animal here at the zoo, from what I understand. And we'll get really big things that look way too big and shrubs, and we'll hang those for the giraffes, and we'll get little pieces and give them to the chinchillas in our education department. The cubs, sometimes the lion cubs will sometimes get some honeysuckle as well, or tortoises. So it's just fun to see our animals enjoy it, and they like the sweetness. I think this time of year when the flowers are blooming, it's a little sweeter than it is later in the summer, but they'll still use it. And branches are even important. If they don't strip the leaves off, the branches are important for browse or for the animals to perch on. So we'll use it for bird perching, and other animals will use it just to climb on and play on and all that sort of stuff. So it's been fun to be a part of Upcycle. We've been doing it for a number of years now. Tons of, I can't remember how many tons, but tons of truckloads of honeysuckle have been taken out of our parks.
Wait, tons of truckloads?
Tons of truckloads.
literal truckloads,
tons. Yes. So we're really excited and to have this partnership, and each year it grows a little bit more. We get more and more volunteers to come out and help us out and be part of a solution to helping. I think people like giving back to their backyards, and it's a family thing. We can have kids that come out to help with the removal of this. It doesn't just have to be the adults, so it can be a family activity as well.
I think invasive species are such an interesting story that not a lot of people realize. A lot of the common landscaping plants that we see all over are invasive species, and with, you know, they are invading the woodlands. And some folks will say, well, the honeysuckle in my yard isn't invasive. It's not going anywhere. Well, actually, what that means is birds will eat the berries or the fruits, and then they'll drop them via the feces in some other natural area, and that's how they become invasive. But sometimes I long for the time that before I knew about invasives, because, you know, a person like all of us in this room, we love nature, we love hiking, we love being out, especially in the spring. And now when you are out hiking in the spring and you see all the beautiful green, unfortunately, much of that is honeysuckle and other invasive species, and you just can't unknow that stuff, which I find frustrating.
Just take note that Kamara, the baby rhino, loves playing with it.
Yeah.
And so when Chris's crew comes out, takes it out of the forest, then the giraffe and the rhino and...
Yes, that's the silver
there
lining.
There you go. There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
Silver lining there.
And we'll have it for a really long time.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Never going to get rid of it now.
No. Just
right,
like dandelions.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the green team here at the zoo?
Sure. So the green team is a group of staff members here at the zoo, and we try to think about what we can do here on our side as staff to be green and to be sustainable. So recycling, turning off lights when we leave rooms, making sure we're looking at our water usage. And then if we can provide those opportunities to our guests, we like to try to branch out and provide those opportunities. So a good example of that would be recycling. There's recycling bins all around the zoo where you can put your bottles and your cans after you got a nice drink, and we'll collect those and put those in a recycling area. So we try to get people to think about what they can do to take that step at home, and that we're doing here at the zoo as well.
I think what we'll do is we'll schedule another podcast and delve a little bit deeper into the work of the Green Team. Sure. And we've just got a couple minutes left. So do either one of you want to share some memorable story about either Zoo Crew or a volunteer here at the zoo?
I think for me, it's kind of the overall, since this is my second year with the Zoo Crew program, seeing those first years come back as second years and how much they've grown, and just to be able to watch them become more confident last summer and then see them again for this year has been pretty amazing.
Chris, do you have anything to add to that? And then let us know once more where our listeners can find out more information about all of your projects.
Sure. We have one volunteer this year. He was named our Volunteer of the Year, the Good Egg. He received the Good Egg Award, which is an ostrich egg. And his name is Joe. He is just a pleasure to have here at the zoo. He does a lot of different things here at the zoo. So you might find him in our commissary doing diets. You might find him talking about the rhinos or the lion cubs, or you may see him just walking around the zoo making sure people are having a great time and being a random act of kindness volunteer. And he just lights up every time he's here. He loves the zoo and he's just so passionate about it, and I think he gets people to be happy when they're here. So Joe's just a wonderful example of one of our many volunteers here at the zoo. To find more information about our zoo programs, our volunteer programs at the zoo, you can go to our website, so blankparkzoo.com, and under the support tab, you can find a whole link to all the volunteer opportunities that we offer and how to get involved.
That sounds good. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And we're running out of time, Jesse, so we better call it quits. And we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.